Chapter 67.
No, Vi said, I can't.
Kylar turned the face of judgment on her.
You don't know what he's like. You've never looked into his eyes. When you see yourself in his eyes, you look in the face of your own wretchedness, please, Kylar.
Kylar gnashed his teeth. He looked away. It seemed like it took conscious effort, but slowly that terrifying mask melted away and his own face emerged, his eyes still icy cold.
You know, my master was wrong about you.
He was there when Hugh Gibbet presented you to the Sakage. He told me how you trashed those other wet boys. He told me that if I didn't watch out, you'd be the best wet boy of our generation. He called you a prodigy. He said that there wouldn't be 5 men in the kingdom who could beat you, but they don't have to. You've beaten yourself.
Durzo was wrong.
You aren't even in the same class as me.
Fuck you. You don't know...
Vi, this is what matters. If you're not with me now, it's all horse shit. As his eyes bored into her, she felt herself changing. She was angry at herself and at him, and at herself again. She couldn't let Kylar down. She had never let anything be more important than herself, and now, in the blind stupidity of infatuation, it was more important that she have this man's respect than that she live. The infuriating thing was that it wasn't even a contest, and yet her weakness for Kylar was propelling her towards strength against the one she really should fear.
Nisos!
This was all too confusing.
Fine,
she practically spat.
Turn your back.
Got a dagger?
Kylar asked as he turned.
Shut up, you smug son of a bitch!
Oh, brilliant, Vi. You realize you like him, so you insult him, for helping you find your guts. She pulled off the dress and pulled on her wet boy tunic. She was being a real wench.
Ah!
She just had 8 emotions in the space of 3 seconds.
Fine, she said. You can turn back around.
I'm sorry for... Before, I was hoping to... What had she been hoping? To impress him? Entice him? To see the heat of desire in those cool eyes?
To shock you,
she said. You, succeeded.
I know.
She couldn't help but smile. You're not like any man I've ever known, Kylar. You've got this innocence about you. He scowled. When you've been where I've been, it's really cute. I mean, I didn't know guys could be like you. Why was she running off at the mouth all of a sudden?
You barely know me, Kylar said.
Shit. It's not just like it's a list of facts that prove you're different, Kylar. You feel different.
She was flustered. Was he being deliberately dense?
Ah, fuck it, she said. Do you think we could ever work out?
What? Kylar asked. The tone of his voice should have shut her up.
You know, you and me, together.
Incredulity spread across his face, and the expression confirmed every damning thought she'd ever had about herself.
No,
Kylar said.
No, I don't think so.
No, she could tell he meant, your damaged goods. She shut down.
Right, she said.
Once a whore, forever a whore.
Right. Well, we've got work to do. I've got a plan.
Kylar looked poised on the verge of saying something. She'd caught him totally off guard.
Shit, what did she expect? Nisos. So he looked at your tits. So he's nice to you. You're still the one who killed his best friend, kidnapped his daughter, and split up his family. Shit, Vi, what were you thinking?
All right, she said, before he could say anything. If we go in the side here, they'll know it's an attack.
We have no idea what their strength is or how many of them there are. But if I walk right in to report on your, well, your death, they won't suspect a thing. If you go in the side door, you can decide when to strike. As soon as I see Paley's go down, preferably starting with the king, I'll fight too, all right?
Sounds pretty weak, Kylar said.
But it also sounds better than anything I've got.
But one thing. He trailed off.
What?
She was eager to go now, to stop talking, stop messing up. If he kills me, Vi, get my body out of there. You can't let him have it.
What do you care?
Just do it.
Why?
Now she was taking her frustration out on him, beautiful. Because I come back. I don't stay dead.
You're mad.
He held up a black, shiny ball. It melted and wrapped around his hand like a glove. His hand disappeared. A moment later, it was a ball again. If Orsul takes this, he takes my powers. All of them. She scowled.
If we make it through this, you have a lot of questions to answer.
Fair enough. Kylar paused.
Vi,
it's been good working with you.
Not waiting for her response, he squeezed the ball and disappeared. Vi turned down the hall and started walking. Ironically, she ran into no patrols at all until she came to the four soldiers guarding the main doors of the throne room. The men eyed her with disbelief. They seemed to forget their weapons as their eyes lingered exactly where they were supposed to.
Tell the God King that Vi Suvari has come to receive her reward.
The God King isn't to be disturbed except in the case of...
This counts!
Vi hissed at the man, first leaning forward until his eyes were pegged to her cleavage, and then pushing his chin back up with the knife that had materialized in her hand. He swallowed.
Yes, ma'am.
The guard eased the great double doors open.
God, our God of the High Realms, Your Holiness, Vi Suvari begs admittance.
The guard stepped inside and motioned to her.
Good luck,
he whispered, smiling apologetically.
The bastard! How dare he be human!
Standing in the last hall, Kylar brought the Kakari to his eyes. He didn't see any magical alarms. Invisible, he moved to the door. The hinges were well oiled.
Come in, Viridiana, he heard the God King say. It's been too long. I was afraid I was going to have to enjoy the death of 10,000 rebels all by myself.
Kylar cracked the door open as the God King spoke. And as the man took in the admittedly impressive sight of Vi, Kylar stole into the throne room. He slipped behind one of the enormous pillars supporting the ceiling. The servants' entrance he'd used opened near the base of the 14 steps to the dais. Orsul sat at the top of the steps in his black fireglass throne. In the center of the vast room was a rolling plain at the base of the mountains. There were tiny figures on each side of the plain, moving in concert. Kylar realized they were miniature armies lining up in the dawn light. It wasn't a painting or embroidery of a battle. It was a battle. 15,000 tiny, tiny figures strode across the plain. Kylar could even pick out flags of the noble houses. The Cenarian lines were forming up, following...
Logan?
Logan was leading the charge? Madness! How could Aegon let the king lead a charge? The great doors closed behind Vi as the God King waved her in. Kylar had never seen the man, or even heard him described. He expected someone old and decrepit, swollen or sagging from a life of evil. But Gareth Orsul was in excellent health. He was perhaps 50, looked at least 10 years younger, and though he had the thick body and cool skin of a Caladoran Highlander, he had a fighting man's arms, a lean face with an oiled black beard, and a head shaved bald and gleaming. He looked like the kind of man who not only would shake your hand, but when he did, you'd find calluses and a firm grip.
"Don't mind the battle," the God King said. "You can walk through it. It won't harm the magic, but be quick. The rebels are about to charge. It's my favorite part."
Through the Kakari, however, Gareth or Sul was a miasma. Twisted, screaming faces streamed behind him like a cloud. Murder lay so thick on him it blotted out his features. Betrayals and rapes and casual tortures wreathed his limbs. Threaded through it all, like noxious green smoke, was the Veer. It somehow fed off and deepened all that darkness, and it was so powerful it seemed to fill the room. As he stood behind the pillar, Kylar noticed a small group of the tiny men fighting 3 feet away from him. Off the battlefield proper, a big man was about to be ridden down by 4 Caladoran lancers. Except the man wasn't ridden down. In seconds, he killed 3 lancers. There was something familiar about him. Fi'ir Kusat! Kylar knew he should be trying to figure out a way to move without being seen, but he was wrapped in the drama unfolding silently, inches away. The Siurans' parted leader came forward. Fi'ir drew a sword that looked like a bar of fire. It stunned the Siurans. Fi'ir and the leader fought for about half a second, the first time their swords crossed. There was a flash of light. The Siuran came away with the sword.
"What was that?"
the God King said.
"What?"
Vi asked.
"Out of the way, girl!"
As Fi'ir knelt before the Siuran.
Knelt? Fi'ir?
The image of the battle suddenly spun around, putting the Caladoran lines at the base of the steps and the Cenarian lines close to the great doors.
Gareth humphed. "Just some raiders."
Kylar brought some of the Kakari to his fingertips, sharpened it into a claw, and tested it against the pillar. His fingers sank in like it was butter. He eased back on the magic and tried again until he was able to sink his fingers in and get a grip.
"This is going to be fun."
He shook his head. It seemed the Kakari had no limitations, and that was just making Kylar more aware of his own. Kylar sent some of the Kakari to his feet and climbed the pillar. There was a tiny hiss and a tinge of smoke at every step, but it was as effortless as climbing a ladder. Kylar reached the 50-foot ceiling in seconds. Figuring out how to adjust the claws to work on the ceiling took a few seconds, but then he was clinging to the throne room's high, vaulted ceiling like a spider. His heart was in his throat. He crept across the ceiling until he was directly above the throne, his body shielded from view by one of the arches, only his invisible head exposed. The God King gave a running commentary to Vi.
"No," he was saying. "I don't know why the Cenarians are using that formation. Seems awfully open to me."
Kylar watched, upside down, as the Cenarian ranks slammed into the Caladoran line. The first rank to hit them was thin. He wondered if they'd lose so many from the archers, but a few seconds later, the next line slammed into them. The God King cursed.
"Damn them! Brilliant! Brilliant!"
"What is it?"
Vi asked.
"Do you know why I made all this, Vi?"
Heart pounding, Kylar released the ceiling with his hands and slowly uncurled, upside down. He drew his daggers, hanging on the ceiling with his feet, bat-like. Gareth or Sul stepped directly beneath him. There was no fear, only calm certainty. Kylar dropped from the ceiling. One of the dark faces twisting in the miasma around the God King screamed. Green-black caltrops of Veer burst in every direction from the God King. Kylar hit one, and they all exploded. The concussion blasted Kylar off course. He sprawled sideways, missed his landing, and tumbled down the stairs. He rolled across the landing and down the second flight. When he came to rest at the bottom of the stairs, his head was ringing. He tried to stand, and promptly fell.
I made it, because a god ought to have some fun. Don't you agree, Kylar?
Gareth smiled a predatory smile. He wasn't surprised.
So, Vi, you've done what you promised. You killed Jarl and you brought Kylar to me.
Kylar had trusted her. How could he have been so foolish? It was the second time he'd walked into a trap in this room. Inexplicably, he felt calm. He felt lethal. He hadn't come this far to fail. This kill was his destiny.
I didn't betray you, Kylar, Vi said in a small, desperate voice.
Oh, he put a spell on you that made you do it? I gave you a chance, Vi. You could have been different.
She didn't betray you,
the God King said.
You betrayed yourself.
He pulled out two diamonds, each the size of his thumb. They were the ones that had held the monster downstairs together.
Who else would have the physical prowess to snatch these but a wet boy? And who else could survive the magic but the bearer of the Black Kakari? I've known you were here for an hour.
So why are you going to reward her? Kylar asked.
What, you want me to kill her too?
Kylar scowled. I did, until you said that. The God King laughed.
You're an orphan, aren't you, Kylar?
No, Kylar said. He stood. His head was slowly clearing, and he could swear he could feel his body healing his bruises.
Oh, right, the Drakes. Magdalene told me all about that. She thought you'd save her.
Sad. When you killed Hugh Gibbet, you really upset me, so I killed her.
Liar!
Hugh's dead? Vi asked. She seemed absolutely thunderstruck.
Do you ever wonder who your real father is, Kylar?
No, Kylar said. He tried to move and found thick bands of magic around his body. He examined them. They were simple, unvaried. The Kakari would devour them easily.
Go on, keep smiling, you fiend.
Gareth smiled.
There's a reason I knew you were coming, Kylar. A reason you're so extraordinarily talented. I'm your father.
What?
Just joking.
Gareth Orsul laughed.
I'm not being much of a host, am I? You came in here all prepared to fight some big battle, didn't you?
I guess so. Gareth was in high spirits.
I could use a bit of a warm-up myself. What do you say, Kylar? Want to fight a Ferali?
I don't actually have a choice, do I?
No.
Well then, golly, I'd love to fight a Ferali, Gare.
Gare, the God King said. Haven't heard that in 30 years.
Before we start, he turned.
Vi, decision time. If you serve me willingly, I can reward you.
I'd like that. But you'll serve regardless.
You're chained to me. The compulsion won't allow you to hurt me. It won't allow you to let anyone else hurt me while you live, either.
I'll never serve you, she said.
Fair enough. But you might want to leave the worst of the fighting to the boys.
Fuck you, she said.
A distinct possibility, child.
Gareth gestured, and a door flew open behind them.
Tats! Why don't you come in?
The Ferali shuffled in. It now had the shape of an enormous man, tattoos still visible on its lumpy skin. Despite his height, at least 9 feet, and the thickness of his limbs, Kylar saw that the Ferali wasn't as big as it had been just an hour before. The monster's face was all too human, though, and it looked ashamed.
"It'll all be better in the moment, I promise," the God King said.
He slammed the diamonds into the Ferali's spine. It cried out with a voice no longer human, and then was still. Gareth abruptly ignored it.
"Do you know why you've never heard of a Ferali?
They're expensive.
First, you need diamonds or you can't control the damn things. But you already figured that out, didn't you? Second, you have to take a man and torture him until there is nothing left but rage. It usually takes hundreds of tries to find the right kind of man, but even that isn't enough. The magic involved is beyond what even a God King can do, unaided. They require Kali's direct intervention. That has a cost."
"I don't understand," Kylar said. He was studying the Ferali. It only had so much mass, it could only change shape so quickly. Fixing those things in mind would change everything.
"Neither did Moburu or Tenser. They do now. This time I made them pay the price. You see, Kali feeds on suffering, so we dedicate every cruelty we can invent to her. In return, she gives us the Veer. But for greater power, Kali asks more. When I was warring with my brothers, she offered to help me create a Ferali if I would host a stranger. You're not familiar with them? My first was named Pride. He was a small price to pay for godhood. Unfortunately, Kali didn't tell me that a Ferali will devour itself if given no other meat. I didn't make another until my son Dorian betrayed me, and I've found lust to be a more odious companion. As Vi shall discover, my appetites grow ever more exotic. Hold on. That line's not doing well, is it?
On the Phantom Battlefield, Logan was pushing the Caladoran line out into a half-moon.
The God King said. Much faster than I expected.
He pulled out a stick. It started flashing in his hand. From the edges of the battlefield, thousands more Caladoran troops began closing on the Cenarian army's flanks. Other ranks moved to reinforce the arcing section of the line. Gareth wasn't trying to win the battle. He merely wanted to fence in the Cenarians so he could unleash Moburu's Ferali on them. Kylar felt sick. What would it do with an unlimited number of victims?
"It will take a few minutes before they get in position," Gareth said. "Where was I?"
"I think we were at the fight to the death part," Kylar said.
"Oh, no, no. You see..."
Gareth went up to the carved fireglass throne and sat. Kylar could see him erecting magical wards around himself.
"Left alone, a Ferali is nearly mindless, but, and this is the beautiful thing, they can be ridden. Tell me, how much fun is that?"
"It's a lot more fun if I can move," Kylar said.
"Do you know why I've gone to so much trouble to bring you here, Kylar?"
"My excellent wit?"
"Your devourer has another name.
It is also called the Sustainer. It heals everything shy of death, doesn't it?"
"It won't help you," Kylar said. "Oh, but it will. I know how to break the bonding. There's an unnatural growth in my brain. It's killing me. And you've brought the only thing that can save me into my hands."
"Ah, the tumor it can help," Kylar said. "But your arrogance is terminal." The God King's eyes flashed.
"How droll. Come, this night angel business is finished."
"Finished?" Kylar said. "I'm just warming up."